We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
John Henry, principal owner of the Red Sox, joining us here at Fenway Park. I got the sense, looking at what happened here last night, that it was a bittersweet moment. I know it's a business. I know that it is. There are certain decisions that are made from a baseball perspective, which are sometimes easy, sometimes hard. And yet, when a longtime Red Sox player returns and is honored, it's hard not to have feelings. Was it hard for you to see Trot Nixon last night in another uniform here?
It was actually great to see him. That was my feeling, how good it was to see him. I hate that term, it's a business, because it never feels like a business. Baseball is more, for a lot of us, is more of an affair of the heart. But I understand what you're saying when you say it's a business, because you let somebody like Trot go.
I saw him emotional. I saw his wife crying. Mm-hmm. I sensed there was emotion for a lot of people down on that field last night.
Yeah, I was thinking about, as I was driving to the park last night, I was thinking that owners come and players come and go, and owners come and go, but the one constant here are the families of New England, and that's one of the reasons we continue to put money into this ballpark, because it means something to the people of New England. But unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, players and owners, I mean, so few of the players, I mean, who's left from the time when we arrived? When we arrived, I felt like I was sort of trespassing on the field in spring training, and this was Nomar's team and Pedro's team, and so many, almost all of them have come and gone. Who's left? I guess Wake is left.
Yeah.
Is he the only
that would be
one
it.
From
yeah.
2000, the 2001 team that's here?
When did Tech get here?
Tech was here.
And if I turn my microphone on, I can tell you that Jason Veritek was also here when you took over. But, you know, I don't know if you remember this at all, John. In November 2005, we had a lot of conversations about Theo Epstein and Larry Lucchino here on Sports Radio.
Remember.
I don't know if you remember this at all. I don't know.
You probably don't remember any of those.
It's kind of fuzzy. Right? It was a blurry time. But I was thinking, there was a year before that. I'm looking at an interview you did with a magazine called CME. And you said, and it's just a quote, "I'm fortunate to have a brilliant general manager and a tremendous CEO." If you felt that way at the time, I'm just guessing you feel that way now. Look, my question is, let's start with Theo first. What makes him a brilliant general manager in your estimation?
Well, he's incredibly intelligent, and he, of course, questions. Part of intelligence, I think, is questioning what you do. I questioned myself a lot during that period, and he's always questioning what he does properly and improperly. And in baseball, it's such an imperfect science. If you're not questioning yourself, there's something wrong. I think that's just a trait of a great general manager. So he lives and breathes this sport and understands it so well. We talked about Larry. He's in China now. What's he doing in China? Baseball. He's, what's the word, indefatigable? Is that
That's
how you
good.
Pronounce it? Indefatigable. He, to me, he's the best CEO in sports. So that's why the November of 2005 was such a tough period for me, because I was determined that we need to keep this team together, and it's I think it's a proven team.
One of the knocks on Theo in the past, no one's knocking him this year because look at that record out there, but one of the knocks in the past was that he moved on from shortstops or didn't make the proper decisions on shortstops, you know, offering Nomar a long-term contract, then pulling back on that, bringing in Cabrera, and then moving on from Cabrera and then bringing in Renteria, who did not work out here. I'm just wondering, what is the conversation like when you bring in a free agent who's making $10 million a year, and then the next season that free agent has to be traded? Is it a tough sell if one of your executives comes to you and says, I know I told you last year this was the right move, but this year we're going to do something different?
As I said, it's really an imperfect science. You guys know as well, it doesn't matter what the sport is, to try to predict how a player is going to respond in an upcoming year is impossible. And there's no doubt about it. We've made mistakes. Theo's made mistakes. But, I mean, I've made mistakes in investing. It's people make mistakes. But, you know, you try to correct those mistakes. I think that we'll be better. And we're getting better. Hopefully we're getting better every year.
So he doesn't have to apologize to you for trading Renteria when, at the time, you know, a year earlier, that was the significant move to this team.
You know, we learned something from that. I think the thing we learned is that sometimes we don't ask enough questions. We didn't hear at all during the year that he was injured. It was only after he'd been traded that suddenly came up that he was injured. But there was, you know, to our knowledge, that there weren't complaints that he was injured. And you saw him play here on a day-to-day basis. He didn't look very good, and we learned something, you know, in that instance to question more if someone's not doing well, what's really going on.
Would you like to see Curt Schilling retire as a member of the Red Sox?
I would.
Do you feel somewhat confident that that'll be the case?
I've been right about that and wrong about that before, so mm-hmm. I don't know if I've been right. Has anybody retired a Red Sox in the last five, 6 years?
We haven't had any
years?
Retirements since you've come on board, I don't think.
They go somewhere else to retire?
Yeah.
We don't hold on to them long enough?
We thought Ricky Henderson, but he wasn't ready.
He's not ready now.
Still not ready.
Still not ready.
He may come back.
You're very savvy with the internet. Do you ever come across Curt Schilling's blog? And if so, what do you think of it?
I love reading it. Sometimes you get your news from it.
We found out Papelbon was going to be a closer from there.
We did. That's how I learned about it.
Do you ever post there? Do you ever communicate with them online?
On his site?
Yeah.
No. I have my own, but it's... Nobody knows the URL, so you can't read it. It's a good thing I'd be suspended from baseball.
Does his accessibility to the fans in that regard trouble you at all?
No. He's a force of nature when it comes. He's a force of nature. And you can see it in his pitching. He just sometimes, you know, when he has a bad outing, you feel like that. Like last night, just felt like he was willing what was happening. I don't know how to say it. He was determined that this is a tough lineup. Cleveland is a tough lineup, and you know, he just refuses to throw balls out of the strike zone. I think when he gave up, what was it? Gave up 12 hits against the Yankees. He didn't have a walk. He's determined and he's disciplined, and I certainly hope that he'll be back in uniform next year.
This team has always done what you needed to do with the trading deadline, or as much as you felt you could do with the trading deadline.
Last year,
not so much.
We were really criticized for not taking on Abreu.
Well, and let me ask you this. If there is a piece that Theo determines is needed, and sitting here at 35-15, it's hard to picture that piece right now, but if Theo makes a case to you that a piece needs to be added at the trading deadline, will he have the resources to be able to do that?
Well, we offered Roger $18 million to come here, so we still that was a bit of a stretch.
Yeah, all he got was 28.
Yeah, that was a stretch, but last year we were willing. But the question isn't so much do we have money to spend. The question is what would we have to give up in prospects. And last year we weren't willing to part with people, and I think it'll be the same again this year.
You said $18 million was a stretch for Roger. Why?
Well, we already have an enormous, enormous payroll. So you talk about investments. That was an investment that was not going to provide $1, well, maybe a few dollars of return. But we're not going to sell any more seats. So it was purely, as most of our decisions have been, how can we best put this team together within reason? And that was beyond reason. I think to pay $18 million and pay a 40% tax for baseball's luxury tax on top of that, it was really just seemed like just a ridiculous thing to do. But it would have been a great story. It would have been a great story. It would have been a great thing, I think. Didn't work out.
Did you ever feel like you were close? Did you feel like that you were?
Yes. But they had a strategy, and part of the strategy was to be at Fenway Park and text messaging. Randy sitting with me text messaging Cashman that he was at Fenway, and suddenly, you know, we find out that we weren't even in the ballpark.
And that makes me. I'm sorry. I'm going to jump on you, Dale. Here.
Go ahead.
Does that infuriate you?
No,
I mean, in a way,
no.
I'm saying you're trying to negotiate with the guy, and it seems to me that he is using your offer to leverage his own situation with another team.
That's the agent's job, and it has nothing to do with Roger, who I got to know just a little bit last year during this process, and I have tremendous respect for Roger Clemens, you know, if I'd have been in his position, I'd have done exactly what he did. And the same with Randy Hendricks. I would have done the same things that they did. They did it. They were very smart. And he just happened the circumstances happened to choose the wrong team 2 years in a row, hopefully.
Outside of Toronto, do you foresee the Red Sox playing, even if it's preseason games, outside of this country in the near future?
If Larry has his way, yes, he's on the international committee, and I think he'd like to play in China and Japan and maybe London, but I'm being a little facetious. But to answer your question, yes, baseball would like to see probably the Yankees and the Red Sox open somewhere outside the United States next year, but that's we would have to be convinced it's in our best interest to do so.
Is it in your best interest business-wise, perhaps? Setting aside the baseball
perhaps.
Part.
Yeah, it is, but it's really tough to start a season in Asia. Really tough on the players.
Let's go back to Daisuke for a second. When he first signed here, we all wrote about the spike in tourism in Greater Boston, and this is going to be a moneymaker for the Red Sox. Is there a way to make money off the popularity of Daisuke without those meaty hands of Major League Baseball coming in and saying, ha, we're going to take some of this money because this is taxable stuff for us?
No, we get our 1/30th of the Matsuzaka shirts and 1/30th of the hats and 1/30th of the monies that baseball will take in Japan.
And you get to pay 30/30ths of the salary.
Right, so it was sort of like the Roger Clemens negotiation. You know, it doesn't make financial sense. It doesn't make financial sense, but my partners have been first and foremost committed. They sit every night over an R10 down there, and they never get any credit, but they've been committed to winning. And we have done things that, from a financial point of view, especially when you're selling all your tickets, you don't need to spend $50 million in advance. But then again, as I said earlier, ratings dropped last year. It was easier last year to make a pitch to your partners about why we need to spend a lot of money here. And so there is a financial element, and it did help the team. It did help us sell suites. We renovated suites, and they're more expensive than ever now. I think the timing of the Matsuzaka signing helped in that regard.
Final question from me. In your very successful business career, Has anything you've ever done given you the same feeling that you got on that October night in 2004?
Good question. The birth of my daughter was...
from that regard. But from a business perspective?
Just in business, no.
Is anything even close to that feeling that night?
Well, yes. You know, my investment company, over the years, in addition to doing poorly, we've had some years in which we've done incredibly well. And there's a great feeling of satisfaction to be a world champion there as well.
And this is my final question. Pie in the sky, just ideal scenario. What is your vision for NASA?
Well, it's largely been realized. When we came, we had a $10,000 graphics package, and I think the job that they do. There was a game the other night that was also on ESPN in New England, and that's part of this baseball. Some of the things they do is try to tell you that it doesn't impact your local audience at NESN to put Major League games on ESPN in New England at the same time. Even though ESPN has all of their production capabilities and great announcers, we still had 87% of the television audience that night. So my feeling from the very beginning when we first bought the team, and I wrote a letter to John Harrington about why we wanted to own the team, and one of the reasons was NESN, because we had a real opportunity to control the lens through which the fans are able to view the game and to enhance. Tom Werner has done, and Sean McGrail have done, an incredible job of enhancing pre-game, post-game, all the shoulder programming and making it into what I believe is the top sports network. I watch ES, they do a great job, but NESN has really done a great job. So I'm very happy with, is there anybody better than Remdog when it comes to...
He and Eck are as good as there is at what they're doing right now as anybody in the country, watching all the games from around the country the way we do, too. So they're as good as it is.
Yeah, we don't get enough of Eck.
That's what I told him, too, and he told me to shut up. So I don't know if I want to do...
We haven't been able to convince him to do more. So and so is Jack Welch. I like Jack Welch.
Well, for the second straight year, you've been gracious enough to allow us to come over and visit with you here, as we said, in your home. Thank you very much for taking the time. It was great to visit with you again.
Well, let's do it again next year on such a beautiful day.
We'll be here.
We'll do it. Thanks, John.
John Henry joining us here on Sports Radio WEEI.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game 10, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.